universe is big. We're small. God may feel far away, but he's not. This is the You're Not Alone podcast, and I'm your host, Pastor Dave Andrus. My daughter Meg, ever since she was a little child, once she learned I was blind, she has worked to have fun with me in her way. So I was sitting in the kitchen the other day, and I got up and started walking towards the dining room. Right where our kitchen intersects with the dining room, we also have another doorway to the bedroom. And just as I came to that, all of a sudden I felt these arms wrap around me. And it just about scared me, and I just about, pooped my pants and wet my pants and everything. And my daughter just laughed and laughed. Meg had come out of the bedroom, and she's always been quiet of foot. And she saw me getting up. And that's probably the other reason I didn't hear her come out of the bedroom to the kitchen area as I was sliding my chair. And she just probably had this glint in her eye, saw me coming. And just as I was walking towards her, she was a still statue. She reached out and grabbed me. Oh, my gosh. I was, where did this person come from? And, it was her laugh that made me relax, kind of like, okay, it's just my daughter Meg. Oh, my gosh. She loves to surprise me that way. And I tell you, sometimes it is just, I don't know if you've ever had that happen where you're in a room and all of a sudden you're aware of somebody else or you run into somebody and you didn't think they were there. It can really be scary. Oh my gosh. It's one of the things about being blind, not seeing people. And if it wasn't for my daughter, I mean, because of her laughs and she says, oh, I love you, Daddy. And I know she does. That's the only reason I'll let her get away with it. If it were somebody else, I don't know, maybe I'd smack him or something. But well, I hope not. But out of reaction of fear, I think I might. The reading this last Sunday kind of almost had a situation like that. The disciples were in a room. The doors were locked. And it says they were locked because they were afraid of the Jews. The Jews had just killed Jesus. These disciples were afraid they were going to kill them. And so they made sure they were barred and locked. They were probably having this little powwow. Well, what are we going to do now? Our captain's gone. And, And in the room stood somebody. How did he get here? Oh, my gosh. And they must have been terrified. I had to pause and think a minute. Well, didn't this happen once before to them? And I had to do a little looking, and sure enough, it's recorded in Matthew 14 that they were rowing a boat across the lake, and it was a rough, windy night, and they saw Jesus walking on water, and they were terrified, and they said, it's a ghost! And Jesus said, don't be terrified. Take heart. It is I. This time, he just stood there. And I'm sure they thought, it's a ghost. This time, however, he didn't say, take courage, it is I. Instead, he said a different word or words. Peace be with you. And then he showed him his hands inside, and they were overjoyed. But it was amazing to me, this is John 20, verses 20 and 21, he said it again, peace be with you. And I was thinking, peace? Peace in the midst of panic? Fear? Huh. What would mean that? So I did a little more looking on the word peace. Sure enough, in the Gospel of John, peace is only used a couple times. In John 14, 27, Jesus said, peace I leave you, my peace. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled. Then in chapter 16, and this is a Maundy Thursday. This would have just been 10 days, no, not even 10 days ago, more like 5 days ago. Jesus said, it's recorded in 16:33, I have told you these things that you may have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble. Take heart, I have overcome the world. I wonder if the disciples, if they didn't happen that night, I think it happened later, that when they thought about, what did Jesus say? Peace be with you. They would have thought back to these words as well. May have peace in me. We'll have trouble in the world. Take heart. I have overcome the world. And so basically Jesus was saying when he stood among them, I have overcome the world. Then he showed him his hands and side. And again he said, I have overcome the world. What comfort that would be, because here they were locked, afraid of the Jews, afraid of what's going to happen. Their life had come crashing down. But Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Just another way of saying, I am God, and I have worked out salvation. I am greater than this world. I have overcome the world. In me, you may have peace. You may have calm. My wife loves to read, and especially biographies. And she finished just a while back the 3-volume set of Teddy Roosevelt. And she would tell me some of the things that were going on during his life and what he would say and do. He was quite an amazing man. One of the things that she commented just stuck with me. Teddy Roosevelt, after he had made negotiations with people and had talked with them and dealt with them, especially people from overseas and such, or even within the United States, he would, at the end of the day, say, come with me. And they'd go outside, and he said, look up at the stars. And he'd just stand there and look up at the stars. Look up at the stars. And then he would say something to the effect, now that we're at our right size, we can go back in. I may have the words just a little bit wrong, but his point was, hey, you know, we're just little people doing little stuff when it comes to God Almighty, who is in control of the universe, and we need to put ourselves in perspective of him. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Peace be with you, the one who created the universe. Now, you and I, especially if you're blind like I am, can't go out and see the stars, but I'll tell you, I like going out, especially after I heard Teddy Roosevelt do that, and I feel the wind, and I can hear a jet flying way up high, and I can feel the vastness of it all. And then just to think, there's somebody vaster than this who created it, that's God. And he said, peace be with you. I have overcome the world. When I hear those words, then I know when he says, I have forgiven you. I love you. That's where I can have that peace. I really can have peace in Jesus because he is on my side. He's not a ghost, but he does come into my life, sometimes rather surprisingly. Yeah. Now, I'm still going to be afraid and shocked and amazed and terrified when my daughter is standing there and grabs me from behind or on the side, and I don't know if she's there or not. And every time, I'm going to be reminded of these disciples who had the same feeling of, oh my gosh, but then heard the words of Jesus, peace be with you. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you can bring us peace, everlasting peace. For we do have troubles in this world of all sorts. But we know that you overcame the world because you rose from the dead and you are alive. And you have given us that promise of everlasting life, even as you've given us the promise that as we trust in you, you forgive our sins and that you walk with us and will strengthen us. Oh, Jesus, help us not to be afraid and behind locked doors, but help us to, and we, yeah, boldly like the disciples speak out about you, or even shyly and timidly speak out about you, but help us to speak to others, because that's one thing we can do. We've seen you, your love, for us, and we know it is real. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I do love sneaking up on you, but only because I love you, Daddy.
Thanks. I'm only an email away. Dave.Andrus@not-alone.net.